Genesis chapter 37, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For, behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him, and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, and see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren, and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it, and they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren, and said, The child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat, and killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father, and said, This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it, and said, It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, we have obviously something, in a sense, very righteous, and then something, in a sense, very wicked going on in Jacob's house. The righteous first. And the righteousness that we see is this holy simplicity of Joseph. Joseph, for his part, believes that since God has obviously made choice of him and given him the rights of progeniture in his dreams and in his father's judgment, that his brothers would rejoice with him. Notice the holy simplicity of Joseph. Some would call it naivete. I don't think it's naivete at all. I think it is simply Joseph and his desire for righteousness in his brethren. This, I think, is that spirit of prophecy that we will see later moving Joseph to try and to try his brothers until such time as Judah draws near and finally says to him, Remember, take my life instead of Benjamin. I will be your servant instead. And it is at that point that Joseph finally reveals himself to his brothers. So it seems that Joseph, rather than simply being naive or simple, that truly what he is he has this holy simplicity about him, such that he believes that the work that God has wrought in his heart, God will work in his brethren's heart as well. And indeed, he is right. It simply doesn't happen according to the time frame that Joseph perhaps expected. Let me say it first then, that many times our expectations of God and of his timing are much shorter than his true timing will be. This is one of the problems, I believe, that plagues Reformed Presbyterian churches and why we're so quick to separate from one another. Because God's timetable is often longer than ours is. And we need to wait for his reformation rather than, if we don't see it happening today or yesterday or tomorrow, first thing, we separate ourselves out and start a new perfect establishment. And of course, we know how that goes. So, Joseph then is favored by his father. Of course he is favored by his father. It was upon hearing that his beloved wife, Rachel, the one he thought his true wife was, upon hearing that she is expecting, that she has given birth to Joseph, it is upon his birth that Jacob says, It's time to go home. It's time to go back to Canaan. I have my covenant heir. In testimony to that, he gives Joseph that special coat. It's a coat of many pieces. Colors is not a great translation there. It just means it's specially constructed to distinguish Joseph from the rest of his brothers. Because Jacob sees him like Abraham saw Isaac and not Ishmael. Like Isaac saw Jacob and not Esau. Jacob sees Joseph and not the others as that particular covenant heir. And so, yes, Jacob favors him. He is not particularly blameworthy in that. Perhaps he might have been, and the narrative doesn't particularly tell us, but he might have been more affirming of the others. But notice also that Joseph, for his part, seemed to be Jacob's eyes and ears, that he brought back an evil report of his brethren. They resented him. He had his dreams. They resented him more. He had the coat. They didn't like that one bit. And so there is all of this animosity that the brothers are allowing to build up in their hearts against Joseph. There's a sermon there. We ought not to let animosity build up with one another. If we have a difficulty, what did Joseph's brethren do? They talked to one another. They inflamed each other's passions. They commiserated with each other. Yeah, I know, Jacob, he's the favored one, isn't he? I'm sorry, Joseph, he's the favored one, isn't he? Yeah, Joseph, I guess I'm chopped liver. Yeah, me too. What did they do? In that they took that course with one another. They inflamed one another in their evil. And the reason I'm a little cranked up about this is because this seems to be the procedure of many churches today, many Christians who, when they are offended or when they think they're slighted, instead of talking to the person that slighted them, they go to 15 others and get all the commiseration that they can and build up all that animosity. And then what happens? The church suffers for it. Sometimes it suffers by being rent in two or three. And so this is a really bad example that the brothers are keeping. And notice that Joseph, for his part, in the midst of all their bad example, is full of this holy simplicity, thinking, what the Lord has done for me, He can do for you too. It was a good thing for me to tell Dad what you guys were doing. You want that correction, don't you? No, they didn't want it. And so all of those things are taking place in these family dynamics. And so the stage is set then. So notice, first of all, the brethren are out in Shechem. Jacob sends them to Shechem, which is not too far from Hebron, to tend the sheep. Apparently, they didn't find suitable grazing, or at least grazing that suited themselves. Perhaps they wanted to be a little bit farther from their father's purview. It doesn't say. But that would be a reasonable assumption. And so they depart and they leave Shechem and they take the flocks and they go all the way to Dothan, which is another couple of days out. And so Jacob sends Joseph to Shechem to see how his brethren are doing. Eyes and ears. Right? Eyes and ears. And so Joseph can't find them. Notice that Joseph doesn't quit, doesn't give up. He's wandering about in the field looking for signs of where his brothers have been. And he meets a man there that's in the area of Shechem, and he tells him where his brothers have gone, and so that's where he goes. He follows them out. So we note Joseph's diligence to obey his father. They see him coming a long way off. They see the coat. They recognize it's Joseph, and they formulate a plan to kill him. Is anyone else shocked by the heartlessness of that? They look upon their brother, and they say, "Here comes the dreamer. Let's kill him." Now, I think the older commentators are right when they speak of Joseph in this chapter, particularly portrayed as a type of Jesus Christ, the favored son of the Father, going forth to win his brethren, the brethren to whom he goes wanting instead to kill him, selling him for 30 pieces or 20 pieces, in this case, of silver. He is put down into a pit. All kinds of prophetic types that show us here that part of what is going on is we're setting the stage for Messiah. So Joseph goes to find, and he does find them, and they strip him of his coat. They take off his identifier as the covenant heir. And Reuben intervenes because Reuben's plan was to take him home. Reuben has just recently been humbled, hasn't he? He has sinned and Jacob has found out about it. Reuben is particularly humbled, I think perhaps to the point of Reuben wanting to intervene on Joseph's behalf and take him home to Jacob. Make sure he gets home safe. That's what the text tells us. So he intervenes on Joseph's behalf and he says, let's not kill him. Let's put him into the pit. Let's sell him into slavery. Let's do something. His plan was to put him in the pit, then when his brothers weren't looking, to take him out and to take him home. That was his plan. Well, it was an ill-conceived plan because they saw the Ishmaelites coming, the Midianites, having their caravan. And so what they did was, instead, Judah convinced them that they should not kill him, but that they should sell him into slavery. And then they'll figure out what to tell Dad later. And so they all agree on that. He's our brother, why should his blood be on our hands? And so that's what they do. They sell him for 20 pieces of silver. Still monstrous. It's just a monstrous thing. And they're all involved. Now, Reuben, however, goes back to the pit, sees that Joseph is gone. He rends his clothes. He goes back to the brethren. What are we doing here? Where is Joseph? Because he had a plan to take him back. But then notice that Reuben is also involved in the plan to take his coat and to pour animal blood on it and to take it back to the father, Jacob, and to let him believe that Joseph is dead. So that is the introduction of Joseph and the introduction, his interaction with his brethren. Then, when Jacob hears of what he thinks Joseph's demise is, when he hears of that, that is when Jacob goes to mourning, and he says, "I will go down to the grave mourning for my son. I will never be comforted." And we might understand that as Jacob's understanding of the covenant itself. In his thinking, all of the promises of God are hinged upon Joseph and his life, such that when God took Abraham up to Mount Moriah and said, "Slay Isaac," no doubt Jacob knew that story. And when the covenant heir was put at risk by the very command of God, at least Abraham had the command of God to hold on to and to say, "I know what God's going to do. He's going to raise him from the dead." Here, there is no such comfort for the patriarch. All he hears is that the covenant son that he believes is the heir of all the world has died, been torn by some beast. And so there is this great disheartening, falling down of the promises of God, at least in Jacob's mind. And so let's not be too hard on Jacob for his mourning, because Jacob believes that the promises of God are in peril at present. This is the reason for the intense mourning of Jacob. All right, thus ends the reading of Genesis chapter 37.